But first of all, I wanted to say something about Manichaeism. I don't know how many of you have heard about Manichaeism, but if you haven't heard about it, it's high time that you should. Manichaeism arose in the 3rd century AD. And very broadly speaking, characterizing it very broadly in very general terms, Manichaeism was a very gentle, a very pacific, that is to say, a very peaceful, and a very tolerant, almost eclectic teaching. Philosophically speaking, it was a form of dualism. That is to say, it believed in the existence of two ultimate principles, the principle of light and the principle of darkness. It did not believe that the principle of light had originated from the principle of darkness, nor did it believe that the principle of darkness had originated from the principle of light. However far back one went, it believed you would always find these two, a principle of light and a principle of darkness, independent of each other, but sometimes in conflict with each other. And the task of man, according to Manichaeism, was simply to liberate the light in him from the darkness in him, or the darkness that surrounded him. And one of the most interesting features of Manichaeism, again in a very general sort of way, is the fact that it stressed the importance in the spiritual life of beauty. The Manichaeans, including Mani himself, were very sensitive to beauty. And they stressed especially the importance of spiritual beauty. They seem to have been particularly sensitive to this. And they encouraged the visual arts, including, perhaps especially, including calligraphy, the art of calligraphy. And tradition has it that Mani himself, the founder of Manichaeism, was a painter. In fact, I'm told that in modern Persian, even, the word Mani does mean, even now, just a painter. And the Manichaeans set up spiritual communities which were in many respects similar to those of Buddhism. There's a possibility, according to some scholars, that Mani was influenced by Buddhism to some extent. Mani had certainly heard about the Buddha and his teachings and refers to them in some places in his own. Now, Manichaeism, arising in the 3rd century AD, spread very widely, very rapidly. Its success, in a way, was really quite phenomenal. During Mani's own lifetime, it spread throughout the Middle East. It spread throughout Iraq, throughout Persia, and so on. And it very quickly spread throughout the whole Roman Empire. It even spread up into Central Asia, all over Central Asia. It began to spread even down into India. And it spread further still right over into China. It practically reached Japan. And some scholars believe, some scholars in Buddhism, that Central Asian Manichaeism exerted some influence on the development, the later development, of the Mahayana and the Vajrayana. In the life of Padmasambhava, for instance, here and there, you find little traces, little touches of Manichaeism. But there's a very strange thing about Manichaeism, about the spread of Manichaeism, and the fate of Manichaeism. I've mentioned that it was very gentle, very pacific, very peaceful, very tolerant, very eclectic. But what was the result of this? What was the result of its gentleness, its pacifism, its tolerance? The result seems to be that wherever it went, it was extremely unpopular. Everywhere it went, it was hated. Everywhere it went, it was persecuted. And eventually, it was wiped out. In the West, in the Roman Empire, it was wiped out by the Orthodox Christian Church, mercilessly crushed. In the Middle East, it was exterminated by fanatical Renaissance Zoroastrianism. And Mani himself was martyred by the Zoroastrians. He died a martyr's death. And even in China, far away China, the wretched Manichaeans were persecuted by Taoists and Confucianists alike. Now, I mention the case of Manichaeism not only because the tradition itself, the Manichaean religion itself, is intrinsically interesting and valuable, but also to illustrate an important point, which is that a spiritual community can be destroyed, even though it may spread as widely as Manichaeism spread. In the case of Manichaeism, even its literature was destroyed by its enemies, and very little indeed was left. And scholars know, in the 20th century, from scraps and fragments and from scrolls discovered in the desert, are painfully reconstructing the history and the teaching of Manichaeism.